It's The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. Busy day. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
That might be the loudest noise we hear in Patrick Gym.
Wow. I'm in a... What?
I mean, just saying, even 3266 can't be that loud.
Wow. Brady,
can you imagine 3266 Arnie's?
I love that. Brady, tell everybody where we are, for crying out loud.
We're at UVM, on the campus of UVM. We are inside cozy Patrick Gym right now, the calm before the storm.
Always love this gym.
America East semifinal. Arnie, this is, you might love this gym, but like all gyms, this gym probably hates you because couldn't make a shot.
I'm looking at the banners, the flags. I'm looking at Trimboli's. I don't see a Trimboli flag. What, Mr. All-Time Leader in Vermont? Mr. All-Time... Am I looking at the wrong spot? Is it behind me?
Number one, they're not flags. They're banners.
I don't see... Is the banner behind me? Am I missing it, Rich? Where's the Trimboli banner?
After what he did to you at the Y a couple weeks ago, he may get a banner at the YMCA.
It's a banner right up here. Why isn't it? How long, is there like a certain time limit you have to put up somebody's banner? Should we start a petition to get Trimboli's banner
it
up there?
It could happen anyway.
He's the all-time... but let's pretend like we've made it happen, though. Let's get a little credit for it. You know what I mean?
I would have to say his is pretty close to happening.
Do you have to like be gone from the university like 5 years,
no,
10 years,
or Eddie Benton, the other two are no longer with us up there for the men's team.
Wow,
Eddie Benton scored about 9 million
points in his
years here. So
Taylor Coppenrath isn't even up there.
What the heck is going on? What is up with that, Rich?
Everybody's staring at you with daggers in their eyes. You're in the wrong place to be yelling this in an empty gym.
This is why people don't like me. Yeah. I can see that. No, this is exactly why. Brady's got, like, friends here. He's got the UVM shirt on. People go, where's Brady? Where's Brady? They come, Brady's, oh, look, it's Brady. You sit down. You're schmoozing with everybody. They don't like schmoozing with me. They're like, how do you do radio with this guy?
Maybe that's because Rich and I have actually gotten up and talked to people.
I talk to people. They don't like talking back to me. They don't like answering me.
You haven't talked to in the last hour.
I just talked to what's-his-face. Is it Justin?
Dustin?
The one that says...
Dustin.
The one that complains all the time. How can you say that UVM should be in the Big East? And we were arguing about that for like an hour.
So the only people who want to talk to you are the ones that want to yell and criticize.
Yes. Okay. Already on the top for a tire. Text line, love the show except for Arnie. So that was actually sent in at 2:17 early. They wanted to make sure they got the first one in. Got the first text. We should have the first text of the day. Gets a t-shirt or something.
Well, they also said we should spend 1 minute on lacrosse because UVM is 6-0 and ranked number 15 in the country. And here's my 1 minute on that. Yes, they're good. We had on their assistant coach, Jake Barnhart, in Champlain Valley game night a couple weeks ago. The team is 6-0, but here's what I caution you against. Albany is number one in the country. And
wow, look at you throwing the Albany card out there.
Have possibly the number one freshman and potential, they're already calling him maybe the guy who will break the all-time scoring record. So I'm just saying.
Why do they all go to Albany? It seems like they're just forever the best team in that league. It's sort of like Vermont men's basketball.
Yeah, do you want the answer to that, actually? Is that a serious question, or are you just being facetious?
No, I assume they have a really good recruiting coach who goes.
They have a coach who's really, really great. He can recruit the Native American reservation in the Onondaga territory well, so he gets a lot of those players as well. And then you have the history now of the program being ranked in the top 10, top 5, getting to the NCAA tournament 4 or 5 years in a row, including the back-to-back quarterfinals.
Look at you, Mr. Hood.
There is a minute and a half.
Yeah, wow. That's more than we do on the Bruins, for crying out loud.
Oh, stop.
Now, Rich is in a bad mood, Rich.
I'm furious.
You are furious.
Is there anything more incompetent on this planet than the airline industry?
Wow.
In the United States of America.
No.
Once again, here we go. I have literally never, ever made a flight leave on time ever.
Now, Rich's fight got canceled, the one that's supposed to leave tomorrow morning at 5:30, because as we were all talking about this big storm over the last 3-4 days, Rich decided, I think I'm going to go ahead and make sure I don't change my flight and try to get out in the middle of the storm.
Right, right. In the middle of the storm, which is supposed to start with the first snowflake at what, 4 o'clock tomorrow?
That's what they say.
I'm leaving Burlington at
that's what the meteorologists say. I'm saying a little earlier, but
how,
go ahead.
How ridiculous is this? My flight is to leave Burlington for New York at 5:30 a.m. The first snowflake is supposed to hit at 4 p.m., and it's canceled. I understand it's not Burlington's airport's fault. It's the places that they're flying to. But there's not supposed to be any snow in New York tomorrow until 6 hours at least after my flight leaves for San Francisco.
I guess this is the payback that you get for saying you wouldn't listen to us on vacation.
Yes,
and
never.
Then also saying that you wouldn't go and get post-game sound from the NASCAR
now,
race that you're
why
going
don't
to.
You, why don't you – you knew this happened earlier today, right? When did you find out?
I mean, there's almost no airports in this country I haven't slept in.
When did you find out that your flight got canceled?
2 o'clock this afternoon.
Where?
In the middle of blazing blue sky sunshine.
You were driving into work?
No, I was sound asleep.
Okay, why, when you found out, saying, you know what? I'm going to bring a suitcase with me. It wasn't at 2 o'clock. You found that earlier. But why did you bring my suitcase, and that way you go to the airport tonight and leave tonight?
It's a miracle nobody's just clocked you.
Is that a bad idea? I don't understand.
Has anybody ever just, smacked you in the face?
No. First of all, you weren't sleeping at 2 o'clock. You had to be at the station at 2 o'clock. You found out earlier. Why didn't you bring your suitcase with you so we'd let you leave right now?
Because I just assumed it was a joke. I really did. I said, there isn't a cloud in the sky, but a flight can't leave at 5 o'clock in the morning because of a snowstorm that isn't happening till tomorrow afternoon.
What kind of joke is that?
I once had a flight. When I worked in the Astros organization for 1 year, I had a flight. I was going to leave Albany at 6:15, and there had been 10 inches of snow the night before. We left at 6:15 with 10 inches of snow on the ground. And I got out of town.
But, Rich, I don't believe you're doing everything to get a flight. First of all, he said he tried calling JetBlue. He couldn't get a person. I refused to believe that, so I called JetBlue and I got a person.
First try.
Yeah, I don't know what he's calling.
Let's verify what you really got.
I got on hold. They say, wait on hold. A person's coming to with you in a minute.
25 minutes.
Well, they said it's going to take 25 minutes. I hung up then, but I'm not going to wait 25 minutes for him. That's for sure.
So says the guy who criticizes me for not being patient.
But I'm not the one that's going to miss vacation. You are.
No, but I'm not missing anything. I'll just push it back. And my suggestion.
Can't have you come in tomorrow.
I'm not really sure I'm kidding on this. Let me ask my boss, not the guy, my inferior guy who's below me, which is you. how about if I just get in my car tomorrow and take 2 weeks off and just head west?
Wait a minute. Because you missed your flight, now you want an extra week of vacation.
I have 3 weeks coming to me. I've worked at the station for 105 years.
I understand that. I understand that.
That is not logistically possible.
Okay. I kind of like the idea of driving across the country.
Yeah, let him drive across. I think that's crazy.
He cannot get 2 weeks.
How long would it take you to drive cross country? 5 days?
Oh, no. No, I could do it. I've done it before. I could probably do it in 2 and 3 quarters.
Why don't you do the show as you're driving with
us? And so that won't be a vacation. Arnie, that's the first.
What do you think about that? As he's driving across the country.
I think, if Rich were ambitious like you and I, he would just do a podcast, Rich's Travels from the Road.
That's true. I don't know. I still don't understand why he didn't bring his, his suitcase and leave tonight, or why you didn't make your flight earlier when you knew the storm was coming
like everybody else. Show, and I was thinking more about how important you guys are in my life than my daughter, who I'm now not going to get to see.
Well, that's too bad. That is too
bad.
And for someone who just hung out with their dad for 5 days, then I know how important that family time
is. He's really grouchy. I didn't want to say this, but I didn't want to start any problems. He was complaining that they had to bring in the stuff from the the car.
All of it.
All 2 boxes.
Yeah, 2 boxes. He's like, oh, what's Brady doing sitting over there talking to what's his face?
Just to let people know what happens at these remotes, Arnie walks in, sits down, and does not move.
No, sometimes I help, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do.
Today was one of those don't days.
Because there wasn't a lot of stuff to bring up. I didn't even know where you went, to be honest with you.
And my point to Rich about it is all summer when you were gone and Arnie was helping in no way, I did it all literally myself.
What do you mean I was helping in no way? I was helping. What are you talking about?
He was helping by being here.
What are you talking
about? His mere presence was good enough.
You didn't have to set up the station tent, which is a hassle, which I nearly broke my finger.
He was complaining like you wouldn't believe. leave. And he was just calling you all kinds of bad names. Well, but I don't want to start anything between you two. That's what I heard. Inside sources.
I'm just mad at the airline industry in this country. I really am. It's just on and on it goes. So
again, what are you going to do?
I mean, you know how many nights I've spent sleeping in airports?
It's supposed to snow Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
right.
Friday,
so I'm
Saturday.
Screwed.
Yeah. Well,
that's why the car idea.
You know, that's why I said you should drive down to Boston and get out.
Wow, there's a nor'easter.
I found a flight for you, 6 a.m. from Montreal.
I'll do that.
Wow.
Yeah, for extra, how much?
It was $298.
Well, that's not too bad. That's Canadian, so I'll tell you what. $250.
If anybody has any ideas for Rich, you can get us on the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, because Rich is just crying, and we feel bad for him. Actually, I like giving him crap, and he's starting to lose it a little bit. So.
No, it's just that...
You are losing it a little bit.
It's like, I mean, I can't tell you how much my family finds this humorous. Every holiday when we get together or up at the camp in South Hero in the summer, all we talk about is just this running joke that I literally cannot get on a flight without having to spend at least one night in a chair in an airport.
Meanwhile, both my flights to the Super Bowl were excellent.
Everybody around me tells me this. It's like, what's it like to have a plane leave? I mean, the funny one we were talking about was the Indianapolis one over the summer. I was down in Connecticut, so I flew out of Providence for my nephew's graduation in Indy. Not a cloud in the sky. I'm heading back to Providence. If you look at the departures, on time, on time, on time, on time, canceled, on time, on time, on time. I look, and it's Providence. Canceled on a sunny 70-degree day absolutely no reason.
It takes a first-time texter to say this. Stop whining and fighting on the air. Flights canceled from Logan last Friday before the storm was hitting, so I drove from Burlington to Nashville.
Or as he put it, he dove from Burlington. That's quite a jump. So, I'm willing to do that, but I have to get to the West Coast.
Okay.
So if I leave tonight...
Well, that's too bad.
I can get to Tahoe by Friday morning.
Okay, so you don't
turn around and come right back.
No, you just leave your car. Rent a car, drive it one way, and leave it out there.
Can you imagine not telling them that with unlimited mileage, I come back with 7,000 miles?
Just drive out there, leave it out there, and fly back, and then just start your vacation when you get out there, big boy. There you go.
2 weeks.
All right. Well, yep. You know what? If it's up to me, you got it. That's the type of guy I am. I would just give
he
it to you.
He doesn't have it.
Wow.
Maybe I'll get an Uber. Go to San Fran.
Look at Brady putting the kibosh on that. Brady, what do we got going on the show today? What's going on?
Well, housekeeping to take note of. Remember, tomorrow, despite the snow, trivia, City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30. Also, we're just announcing that on the first day of the NCAA tournament, we're going to be at City Sports Grill also having a day-long watch party from noon to 9 p.m. So stop on by at any point in there on March 15th. So Thursday, broadcasting live at Idle Time Brewery. Again, despite the snow, we'll be in Stowe. You
yes.
like that rhyme?
Wow, look at you.
So Idle Time Brewery in Stowe. As for what's coming up on the show today, Kevin Love opens up, Tom Caron of Nesson at 4:35, Deion Sanders with some interesting comments, Jerry Remy also interesting comments, this time about David Price. But first, Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston, he has written an interesting article on Bill Belichick and on the Patriots. And really what it centers around is that back in the day, in 2009, after a Patriots season in which the Pats didn't play all that well, they went 10-6, they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, Belichick and Curran had a conversation about how much pushback does Belichick get in the organization? How much constructive feedback does he get? And Belichick said that you need to have guys who are willing to challenge you, guys on your staff that are willing to challenge you. And now Curran's wondering, does Belichick want that still, or does he rule with such an iron fist that it's going to be kind of the downfall of the organization?
Why did this come out now if it was something that was like 8-9 years ago? I'm just kind of curious on that.
Well, he's basically wondering aloud if he's wondering what Belichick is doing, because back in the day, Belichick had people that would check
right.
him. And in the way that Belichick would check Parcells coming up through the ranks, he had people, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Bill O'Brien, people that would check him. And now Curran is wondering a lot if Belichick, he doesn't want that. We hear all the time Belichick just wants to coach guys that he likes being around. Does he also only want coaches he likes being around who are puppets for him? And does he ruling with such an iron fist that it's becoming detrimental?
Well, sometimes I know if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you don't want to take anybody else's advice. But you know what they always say? A lawyer that represents himself is a fool. No matter how smart you are, you always have to listen to other people's advice. And I really see how Belichick doesn't give a damn about what anybody says about anything. He does his own way. He tends to his own tango. And, you know, that's the wrong way to do it. He's been lucky, or he's been good. I'm not going to say lucky. I shouldn't say that. He's been very good. But you got to wonder, would they have gone through that long stretch of no Super Bowls had he listened to some of his assistants? But probably nobody wants to talk out, Rich, because they're afraid of dealing with him.
You know, I've said for years I don't understand a good 50% of the things Bill Belichick does, if not more. I mean, the Butler thing just capped it all. I have no idea that his draft picks have been bizarro land for me for years. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And as a Pats fan, you just, I mean, how many times does In Bill We Trust, how far does that go when you have to keep rolling your eyes at half the things he does?
Well, I have believed all along there were issues in the Patriots organization this season. I don't know that I'm willing to go as far as to saying Belichick won't listen to anybody or Belichick doesn't have people. He's got a bunch of yes men on his staff. That doesn't seem right to me. I could see his relationship with Kraft getting strained and tired. They've been together for so long that there's bound to be some conflict there. But Josh McDaniels has been on this staff twice now, and he's been back here since, what, 2012, 13, or whatever it is? McDaniels is that guy who can challenge Belichick. If Belichick is supposedly keep taking him further under his wing to help train McDaniels as a coach, wouldn't you think there's a sense of trust there on both sides? McDaniels could do that. Patricia was in the organization since 2002. They have to have the right to be able to question him.
Well, take it a step further. Shouldn't Tom Brady have the right to question him, or does McDaniels have the right to question him first before Tom Brady?
I would say the coaching staff always before the players.
But you're talking about a Hall of Famer, best quarterback in the history of the game. I think he's got all the right, even more so than McDaniels, to knock on that door and say, what the blank are you doing? This is not going to work. You got to change it because I'm the quarterback. Am I wrong about that?
No, but I mean, I'm sitting here thinking McDaniels decided to pass up the opportunity in Indianapolis. He's had other opportunities over the years. I mean, there must be something that's working for him to continue to come back and be Belichick's assistant year after year.
You know, Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal, he was talking on NBC Sports Boston, and he was asked the question, has Belichick lost the locker room? And he provided this answer. So Aaron's in the studio. Aaron, give us Mark Daniels number two.
Man, that's a great question. I know after the Malcolm Butler stuff, you know, 48 hours after the Super Bowl, there were several players mad about that situation. And that's completely new to me because I don't really remember a time when, you know, players were angry or that angry with a coaching decision. And you take something like that, add it on with the Guerrero stuff, right? You have players sort of twisted between, are they going to work with, you know, Guerrero, Brady, and Gronk's guy? Do they want to work with the team trainers? It just seems like, you know, for whatever reason, there was a lot of drama surrounding this team.
Did I not say that? I said that for the first time in his life, or my life, I'm hearing Bill Belichick is going to be criticized, and people are starting to wonder what he's doing.
The thing I wonder about in all this, and the guy I'm happy for in all this is Seth Wickersham of ESPN, because he was the one who wrote the expose on the Patriots in January, and a lot of people came out and crushed that expose and said, oh, it's full of half-truths, it's full of lies, maybe he made stuff up. A lot of people going at Seth Wickersham's journalistic credibility, and now we hear Mark Daniels saying there was drama with this team. There is drama with this team. And you know what I find really interesting? And I like Mark Daniels. I think he does great work. But you heard him say at the end of that, right, guys? He said there was drama with this team, people openly questioning things. But we had him on the day that Wickersham story broke, and he pretty much said all of it was made up. And, Aaron, show us what Mark Daniels told us in January about the Wickersham article and kind of the, quote, conflict around the Patriots. It's number three, Aaron.
Was it surprise me? Yeah, things that were in there certainly surprised me because some of them didn't make too much sense. I mean, I've talked to Robert Kraft before, who's told me and a group of reporters that, you know, he's paid Bill Belichick to make all the football decisions for a long time, and he's not about to butt in. And that was about Jimmy Garoppolo and the quarterback situation. We talked to him in the owners meeting last March in Arizona. So when I read that stuff, I was pretty shocked.
Mark, what else? Anything else? I mean, you read that and said, oh, that's true?
No, not at all. Honestly, I've had multiple sources that have told me that isn't true. That's what I wrote today in the Providence Journal.
So it basically said that he didn't buy a lot of the Wickersham story, and here he is a month and a half later said, oh, this team had drama around it. Which side is it, Mark?
I know. I hate when they do that. I really – it's such a rush to get it out, forget about getting it right, flip-flopping. I hate when people do that.
And
that's
he told us also the Patriots shut down his ability to write a story
about
Gronk and the TB12 method. So if you knew the Pats –
yeah, we could grill him if we got him back on.
If you knew the Pats were shutting down your story idea on Gronk, and now you're going to tell me that you knew there was drama all year, then why are you telling us in January that the Wickersham article is full
of holes?
He
probably didn't even know. Yeah, we should send it to him. Man. Cold hot takes, huh? Send that to him. Cold hot radio takes. See what he likes about that. All right, Brady, off and running. We're live at Patrick Gymnasium. Of course, the big game tonight, the semifinal game, where Stony Brook coming into town. They were the number 5 Z guys, right?
Yep.
Taking on the UVM. So looking forward to that. Oh, by the way, what is the other matchup? It's
Hartford and UMBC.
Hartford, the 2 and 3, right?
Yep, at Hartford.
So no upset there. Brady, what is coming up next?
Kevin Love opens up today in the Players Tribune. What did we think of what he wrote, and what do we think of the conversation that stems from it?
All right, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
101.3 ESPN weather.
In a nice change of pace, it's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, mostly sunny with a top temp in the upper 30s nearing 40. Tonight, increasing clouds, upper 20s. Widespread snow with our next winter storm kicks off Wednesday afternoon and is heaviest Wednesday night through Thursday with up to 6 to 12 inches falling in total by Friday. Expect tough travel conditions periodically through the end of the week. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Tebow, Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 42 degrees now at 101.3 ESPN.
Step 1, watch sports. Step 2, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN, live at Patrick Gymnasium for the semifinal game. Robin Swan says the game must be sold out, right? I don't know that. That's a good question, Brady.
The student tickets were sold out yesterday.
But
the
general admission
tickets didn't even go on sale until today, and I think they did sell. I think
well,
those all sold out.
We'll try to get the information so people will know. For sure, because I think there's people that may want to come down at the last minute.
You can listen to 101.3 ESPN.
Right. And if there are seats available, we'll let you know. We'll find out. Because I don't want people not to come if there's going to be a few seats available at the last minute or something.
Do you want me
like
to
that.
Go right now? It's right upstairs.
Wow! Just go grab some tickets right now.
Just no, I'm just, I can find the answer for you if you want. We are here.
Don't let him out. He just wants to go call the airline.
Yeah, I know that's exactly what you do. You're still all bitter about that.
I don't want to call them. I just want to scream at them.
By the way, wasn't the founder of JetBlue, doesn't he live here? Here, right in Burlington or no?
He did, yes. Or really? I don't know if he still does, but JetBlue was founded by a guy in Burlington.
Do you have his address?
I do not.
Okay.
No, but I'm sure he's listening to the show now.
Well, you never know.
And I'm sure he has a private plane over at Burlington International.
That just happens to be ready to go to San
And I'm sure I'll have no problem get you on that private plane to take you wherever you want to go. So
whatever it takes.
To have no problem. Have no fear. I'm sure we'll be Mr. Old Owner of JetBlue, please give us a call. Or text us on the Top Fair Tire text line. 802-655-6672. All right, Brady, what's going on with Kevin Love?
Kevin Love wrote in the Players Tribune today, and it was on the heels of what DeMar DeRozan wrote last week. So DeRozan writes last week about his battle with depression. Kevin Love writes about his battle today with panic attacks and finding himself and mental health. And it's all centered around this kind of new conversation. As a lot of things in society are changing, this is another one that people are working to change. It's the stigma that men can't talk about their feelings. And here you have two of the alpha males in the NBA writing openly about their battles with their own mental health. And it's an interesting conversation. It's an important conversation.
Oh, you know, it's interesting that you said that about males. I didn't think you were going to say that it was tough for males. I thought you were going to say it's tough for people of
stature, popularity.
Yeah, to talk about it. That's where I thought you were going to go because, I mean, there's people listening right now. Who'd you say was Cousins?
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, excuse me. And people were saying, well, what do you got to be depressed about? You're making millions of dollars. You're playing a game. You get this, that, and the other, major homes and stuff. What do you got to be depressed about? That's what people are thinking right now.
No, and I think, and how many times have we just said, boy, that guy must feel terrible. He just missed a shot and let down 20,000 people, or the guy dropped a pass in the end zone, and you think, oh, well, they don't care. They'll just go back to their, you know, their perfect model wives,
right,
and their seventh lakefront estate that they own. And we never even think about the possibility that they might actually have some feelings about these things that could come into play. It's interesting. I mean, a guy like Brian Johnson of the Red Sox had a terrible bout with anxiety.
No, you know, I was just about to bring that up. Who's the worst baseball player you remember that had the worst bout of anxiety? If I remember the name, Jim Eisenreich, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Remember when he played the center fielder?
Yes.
He used to come into the dugout sometimes and take off his uniform. I mean, you're talking full-fledged panic attacks. Do you remember him? I don't know, it might be way before your time. He had it worse than anybody we ever remembered.
And then there were other weird situations that became situations that were certainly mental, like Mackie Sasser unable to throw the ball back to the pitcher, and I mean, they're just
Rick Ankiel,
these people who just literally suddenly couldn't throw a baseball, and that's a different
Steve
thing
Sachs.
Than what we're talking about with Kevin Love. But Kevin Love's career arc, if you look at it, UCLA superstar, high draft pick, comes in, dominates at Minnesota, he's a 2010 guy, perennial all-star, then he comes into a situation where he's not the big man on campus all of a sudden for the first time in his life, and I think a lot of this is because these guys have been at the top since they were 6 years old. And all of a sudden they have to deal with injuries and other things. I don't want to call it mediocrity. Love's been a great player, but they're used to being the best at what they do.
I think that's the case maybe for some people. But I don't think that's the case in DeRozan or Kevin Love. These guys are talking about this is lifelong battles that they've gone through. And Kevin Love pointed back to the death of his grandmother, who was kind of the pillar of his family, and kind of things just becoming more, life becoming more difficult for him at that point. And Arnie, the reason why I said males is because Kevin Love wrote this. The stigma around mental health is that, I mean, people in general don't like to talk about it, but the stigma has always been men shouldn't talk about their feelings. Men should, quote, be tough. And in a masculine world where you are supposed to be an alpha male, you're not supposed to show any kind of weakness or, you know, quote, weakness or vulnerability. And that's why I think guys like DeRozan and guys like Kevin Love are writing this stuff, not only to kind of help put themselves out there, but to let men in particular know it's okay for men to have a, you know, have an emotional vulnerability, because we're taught at an early age, just tough it out.
Brian Williams went through this. He played for the University of Arizona. His father was a famous musician. I believe he, you know, obviously it was a terrible thing that happened to him, but they found him on a boat, or, you know, way out in the sea somewhere. So, and obviously wasn't alive after that. So it was just a horrible thing. But he had everything going. He was playing in the NBA at the time.
I mean, Sammy Stewart just died. Was it yesterday? Day before? This fun pitcher, pitched for the Red Sox. Most of his career was with Baltimore. Massive drug issues as soon as he stopped the game. And you sit there and you go, how could that possibly happen to a guy who had
well,
it all like that?
That's a little different on
no,
that.
No, it is. But, yeah. I mean, it all comes down to the mental aspect of sports that we don't consider as a possibility with a lot of these people.
All right. By the way, we are live at Patrick Gymnasium. If you're wondering where the heck we are here for the semifinal game. Of course, Stony Brook coming to town. Stony Brook, I got to say, a little bit of an upset, guys. Stony Brook over Albany. They were the number 5 seed over the number 4 seed, Brady. So, UVM tonight, you're excited about that one. And two more wins, and they're back in the tournament. So.
Two more wins back in the tournament. Yeah, it was an upset, I would say. Albany was the higher seed. 4-5, not a huge upset, but Albany, with the names of the caliber of players they have, the Cremo, Nichols, guys that we've gotten to know over 3 years now in this conference, you just kind of expect them to win, because Stony Brook's in a transition. There's no more Jameel Warney, and Carson Purifoy, and Steve Peichel's now the coach at Rutgers. He's not here. So this is a team of relative unknowns in Stony Brook, who did pull an upset. All in all, tonight, what I want to see is I want to see UVM come out in the first 6 minutes of this game and nominate, because
put the blitz on them.
I want to see the message sent early. It's great to know they can come back. It's great to know that they can turn it on, but you don't want to be a team that turns it on. I want to see them up 21-9 right out of the chute.
Right. Like the Celtics last night.
Yeah.
It's like 91-6 at halftime. Yeah, John Becker said today, we heard a little bit about how this is not the same Stony Brook team, and I think he was trying to be nice about it by saying it's not as strong. Jameel Warney is not walking through that door. I mean, he was a dominant all-conference player all his years, and he dominated games, including several of them in this gym. They start three freshmen. It's just a different situation. Do you buy into the idea that you can't beat a team three times in a season, or
no,
that it's difficult? Because obviously you can.
Of course, I think it is difficult, but UVM did it last year. Yeah. They went 19-0 in the conference. They did it three times.
Barely on the third one against Albany, though, that's for sure.
But they did do it three times.
Yeah.
I buy more into the fact that these teams just played a week and a half ago, that you know, 2 weeks ago. That's what I buy in more. I think UVM is just flat out better. And as I said yesterday, I think the only threat to UVM is UVM itself right now is getting off to a slow start or coming out lethargic or thinking they're just going to walk all over them. And I like to think that this coaching staff and this senior leadership is put together well enough to avoid that from happening, especially at a big moment. But there have been slow start after slow start for the last month, and UVM cannot afford to have that because you can only go to the comeback well so many times.
All right, by the way, if you're going to the game tonight, let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, who's coming to the game. And, of course, tip-off 7 o'clock, certainly looking forward to it. And you know, just one side thing. Did you see how they're doing the NCAA tournament this year?
Yes, and that's it. Don't ruin it.
Oh, if we're doing it later on?
That's in my gone but not forgotten.
Oh, I don't like it.
Neither do I.
I don't like
ruin
it at all. Right, are you talking about the station?
Yes, don't
ruin
it. Oh,
no, I'm not talking about that.
I'm talking about how they're going to do the selection show.
Okay, that's how I'm going to
That's my gone but not forgotten, the good selection show.
Okay.
Don't ruin it.
I won't ruin it. I won't go ahead and get to that. So, we will be here, though. We'll stick around. We got the what's my under for the YMCA game tonight? And by the way, I don't think I'm going to get a lot of playing time. I think we got like eight guys. So
1.5.
1.5 points?
Yeah.
Wow.
About 1.5 minutes.
Wow.
The over-under is 1.5.
I am, of course, didn't get a lot of playing time last game. I sat myself out because it was a very tough game. I did, because I only played like 5 minutes because it was a tough game and these guys choked it away. Yeah.
So in other words, it was a tough game, so you decided you didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
No, I did what's best for the team. And I'm like, if I get in there, I'll turn the ball over or something like that. Is already saying for the game he's going to scalp his ticket. No, I'm not going to scalp my ticket. But for you, Vince, I'm going to charge you triple the amount, though. So if I do get a ticket, you get it for triple the amount. Brady, lots going on. What is coming up next?
Tom Caron, our Red Sox insider from Nesson, he'll join us. What's the latest on Drew Pomeranz's elbow?
All right, that's coming up next live at Patrick Gymnasium right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. Live at Patrick Gymnasium, getting ready for the semifinal game, of course. Stony Brook in town, the number 5 seed, after getting the upset over the number 4 seed, Albany. Tip-off, 7 o'clock, pregame, 6:30, right here on 101.3 ESPN. Very excited for that. So, boy, how quickly 1 year goes by, huh? It was just right here last year we were getting into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's funny because, and I think Coach Becker said it like halfway through the season, and I've heard a lot of people start to say this too, maybe everybody should just sit back and realize that this has become the routine and that we should appreciate it. Never should you think of it as a routine, but that's sort of what it's become over the years. It's amazing.
Well, no, you 1,000% should look at this as special, because it is special, especially at the mid-major level where recruiting fluctuates so much. It just becomes, you know, it's hard to replicate this kind of success. It's hard to replicate this over and over again. I remember at Albany, the team made 3 consecutive NCAA tournaments, and everybody just kind of penciled them in for playing into March, and then it didn't happen anymore, and it set them up for major disappointment.
I want to know, and Brady, you would know more. You'll have to tell us later on how this is going to affect recruiting. Did we get any, like, big 3-, 4-, 5-star recruits and all that? But first, we go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now from Nesson, as he does every week, is Tom Caron. How you doing, Tom?
I assume I was the 5-star recruit you were talking about. That was a nice transition.
Absolutely, you're fine. What's going on with Drew Pomeranz? What's happened already? We're still like a month away from the start of the season. What's going on here?
Well, this happened last year. I mean, it's exactly what happened last year. He took himself out early last year. Even in the regular season, remember, a couple of starts in, he took himself out of a game right away. You know, the guy doesn't want to pitch through any forearm tightness, but it's concerning. I mean, I know they say don't be concerned about it, but if a guy's not on the mound pitching, I'm concerned about it. So, like, you know, you got to worry a little bit because they've already got two guys who aren't going to be ready for the start of the season in Steven Wright and Eduardo Rodriguez. So it's not good.
Yep.
Devers today, 2-for-3. I think he hit another home run. I mean, he's hitting .400. Benintendi's hitting .471. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of really high averages down there. Give me a guy that's done absolutely nothing. I guess your answer might be Mookie. Is there any
Mookie Betts is the answer. Mookie Betts has been hitting, you know, the last two springs, he hit like .400 in each of those springs. So it's a little concerning, but I mean, yeah, listen, if you're going to have somebody struggle, you'd like it to be Mookie Betts at spring training because he's good enough. It doesn't matter. He's been through enough now that he knows how to put that stuff behind him. I'd be more concerned if Benintendi or Devers, one of the really young guys, was struggling at spring training. So I think it's great. I think it's, you know, does spring training matter? I mean, no, it doesn't. I've talked to a lot of guys over the years who, you know, you have a great spring training and you start 1-for-16 and all of a sudden the weight of the world's on your shoulders. Until you get that first couple of hits in the regular season, you're grinding on it, even if you had a great spring. But I do think a young guy builds confidence from success at spring training. I think a young guy goes into the season. Listen, if you're Devers, you had a great end last year. You're rolling into it now this spring. You feel really good at spring training. I think that's a great sign.
TC, what do you make of Joel Sherman's comments yesterday in the New York Post where he said that the Red Sox are the contender with the fastest closing window to contend? What'd you make of that?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a huge surprise, really. We've talked about that for a little bit. They got a lot of guys who are coming up. They got trouble on two ends as far as a long-term window of opportunity. You got the guys whose contracts are going to be at an end. Craig Kimbrell, David Price could opt out. Chris Sale, you know, those guys are going to be able to walk away. And then you get the problem of the younger guys who are getting closer to that, too. We've talked about this plenty over the last year or two. How are you going to lock up Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and Christian Vasquez and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi over the next couple of years? You can't lock them all up. You can't give everybody $300 million. So they're going to have to, you know, navigate through this, which means you're either going to lose guys and get nothing in return, or you're going to have to trade some guys and get stuff in return.
Yep.
And that becomes a little trickier because we've seen that over the years. That's hard to do. It's hard to decide who goes, who stays. But right now, they're all in for this year. And I think because of that, all that stuff gets pushed off on the back end.
You know, I brought this up, TC. I said if the Red Sox don't have a good year and they're off not having good at the All-Star break or halfway through, you could see Craig Kimbrell being shipped out and being gone and maybe going somewhere else, or am I being too dramatic here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that could happen. They'd have to be way out of it, though. We're not talking about a few games out of it. They'd have to be essentially a complete disaster. And listen, I said it once, I've said it a million times here over the last month, 7 of their first 9 games are against the Tampa Bay Rays. The other 2 are against the Miami Dolphins. They both stink. But I mean, you know, I mean that's their first 9 games. 7 with Tampa Bay, 2 with Miami. If they're not 7-2, it's a disappointment.
9-0.
Yeah, I mean, really, they should be 9-0. I mean, those are non-competitive teams. Those are, especially Miami, we know they've blown it all up, but Tampa now is trending in that direction as well. I mean, you could come out and get off to a really good start. And as we've seen before, you know, you just don't want to get off to a bad start. Good starts don't guarantee anything, but they certainly get you off to feeling like you can do something special. And that 9-game run, by the way, rolls right into 3 games with New York Yankees at Fenway Park. So you should be able to load up and be ready for that series.
Do you see any concerns? I mean, Price debuted against the minor leaguers, I guess it was yesterday, and Sale hadn't done anything. But, I mean, are these guys going to be ready to go 5 or 6 innings in the opening series?
Well, I mean, they think so. I mean, that's the whole idea. It's not because they can. It's because Dana Lavangi, the pitching coach, and Alex Cora, the supporting him, both believe that this is a way to get them ready for the season, but keep them fresher for September. And if they're not ready for the beginning of the season, then that's a big problem. They blew this. But they expect them to be completely ready as they normally would be when the season begins. We'll see. The concern I have is these guys always go through that sort of dead arm phase late in spring training. And you hope that they're not pushing that back so that the dead arm phase happens during the regular season, because that would not be good news. So, but this is by design. This isn't anything to do with their health or anything like that. This is because both of those guys, and especially Chris Sale, who's been so good in his career, but his ERA in September has been consistently higher than the rest of his season. He fades at the end of the year. They're trying to figure out how to cut him back early, and they think spring training is the place to do it.
Tom Karen of Nesta joining us on the huddle, as he does every Tuesday at this time. So Jerry Remy, Red Sox broadcaster, kind of gave David Price a free pass for his outburst last season, blaming it basically on the, well, he's injured, so he's unhappy. What are you buying that reason?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it was ill-advised, to say the least. I think David Price, back at the beginning of this spring training, saying, "I could have handled things better," is his way of saying he knows he screwed up there. He was trying to be a good teammate. We know the story. He's trying to stand up for, he thought, a teammate who was being criticized, and he did it completely the wrong way. You know, the proper way to do that is if you got a problem with me, you got a problem with Dennis Eckersley, you pull one of us aside, whoever you have a problem with, you pull Eck aside and you say, "Listen, here's what, you know, I didn't like this. I've had a million guys say this to me over the years. You know, hey, listen, I didn't like the way you did that. What's going on?" You don't call him out on a plane and make it a big scene. So, I don't know. I don't give him a pass on it, but I talked to Eck. Price has talked about it. I think everyone's ready to move on and let bygones be bygones.
You know, TC, let me get to Chris Sale, because I guess they're saying, you know, they're going to wait a little while before they get him out there in spring training. They're going to handle him very, you know, cautiously and stuff like that. My thing is this. If you want to go ahead and protect him from wearing down at the end of the year, he's got to understand the days of pitching 8 or 9 innings are over. The days of what the Dodgers are doing, 5 innings and you're out of there, is the new trend. What do you think?
I think it cost the Dodgers the World Series. Rich Hill was dealing, and they pulled him out because they didn't want him to pitch the third time through the order. He'd only thrown 60 pitches. I mean, you're right. There's a middle ground somewhere. The problem last year is Chris Sale, and this is by his own admission, Chris Sale last year showed up at Fort Myers and wanted to show the Red Sox and Red Sox Nation and the baseball world how good he was and how ready he was to take on all comers. And he overdid it. He threw too much, too hard at spring training and into the season. So, I mean, cutting him back at spring training is good, but I think you're right. I think there are going to be times this year where he's got maybe a shutout going and is dealing and is taking care of business, and they take him out because they got an 8-run lead in the 7th inning, the 6th inning. No need for him to throw another 30 pitches. You remember last year, leaving him in to get that 300th strikeout? Everybody went nuts. I just think... Yep. They're going to have to be more careful during the season, and that means Alex Cora's got to go out there and take the ball even when he's getting stared at and growled at by Chris Sale, and that'll be the challenge.
Tom, you broadcast, obviously, a lot from Yawkey Way. Do you think by the time the season starts, you're broadcasting from Jersey Street?
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think, the Red Sox have asked to go back to it. I think I've told you guys, my idea was, you want to change it the Yawkey Foundation way.
Right.
But, you know, the Yawkey Foundation people said they it sounded like they didn't really want a part of that, because they thought, you know, they're saying, John Harrington, who was the CEO, said, "Listen, we're not trying to separate the man from the mission, that we're out here as a foundation spending the money he created for us, so we don't want to be known separately from Tom Yawkey." So the Red Sox have asked to go back to the original street name, which is probably the next best idea, rather than trying to name it David Ortiz Way or Ted Williams Way or just pick another hero. Let's go back to what it was forever before they named it Tom Yawkey Way. Let's go back to Jersey Street. I think this, you know, Mayor Menino never wanted to do it. Tom Menino never wanted to change it. I think Mayor Marty Walsh is much more inclined to do that. And if the Red Sox have asked, I don't see why they change it. I don't see... Listen, We debate everything in society now. Everybody has to pick a side and scream at the other side. I don't really see the downside. I don't think you're tarnishing his legacy any more than it's been tarnished by stories. I think, you know, in this age of trying to be more inclusive, in this age of trying to be more welcoming, you're going back to what the street was originally called, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this. Bruins have lost Charlie McAvoy. It looks like it's at least a month here at the minimum with that sprained MCL.
Eesh.
How big a loss is this for the Bees?
Oh, it's a big loss, no doubt about it. And, you know, we all saw it just whatever it was, 30-something seconds into that game, and you feared the worst the way he buckled and came out of there quick and the way they rushed him down the tunnel. And sure enough, you get that news that it's, you know, pretty close to the rest of the regular season. This guy's been so important for them. They played well without him when he was out after that heart procedure. That was a couple of weeks. And now they're going to have to bear down. You know, it's a good thing they added a little bit of depth. But depth is one thing. A top 2-3 defenseman is another thing. And I think Matt Grzelcyk is the guy you turn to here. Grzelcyk's played well. He's going to have to step up and take more time, take more, you know, of a role on the power play and everywhere else, and we'll see if he's up to the test. But it's a big blow. McAvoy has been an absolute force for them and one of the top players on that team, one of the top three, if not two, defensemen for this team all year. Now they got to carry on without him.
Yeah, TC, we're going to let you go. Rich is mad at you because you're in Florida and it's sunny weather.
He's
Rich
up here now.
And Rich is, oh, you're here? Well,
here.
I didn't know. Rich,
feel Rich any is better. I'm back here putting gas in the snowblower, okay? So relax. I'm going to be digging out of it tomorrow with everybody else.
Well, good. Now I feel better. You feel better, Rich, or what?
No. Yeah, let me speak German.
I'm trying to get to Arizona, TC.
In case you were trying to remember.
TC, always a pleasure. Get ready for the storm. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, take care. Tom Carrot, everybody. I thought he was in Florida. I'm like, you know, Rich is mad at you. You're in Florida. He can't get out of town, man.
I may be in Florida by next week.
Yeah, unbelievable. Always love talking to TC. How many days? Well, how many days away from the
23 days.
Jeez. Gosh, I don't even count this far ahead before the NFL season. I don't say 23 days before the NFL season. We'll come back gone but not forgotten as we wrap up hour one right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, time for Gone But Not Forgotten. But first, Jane and Vince, everybody wants to know why Rich's microphone doesn't sound good. It sounds tinty because, Rich, you have to hit the anti-tint button there.
Oh, is that what
that
was?
Sound? Now, there you go.
Better?
Yeah, just hit that anti-tint button.
I want you guys to appreciate that I figured out how to solve the problem.
I just hit the button.
Yeah.
All right, time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Let's get right at it. Passing away on this day. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Davy Crockett passed away on this day, 1836, only 49 years.
King of the Wild Frontier, baby.
That's right. I mean, we lived through him with his hats, right?
Davy Crockett at the Alamo?
I don't know.
Was Davy Crockett at the Alamo?
I think so.
Okay.
That was Betty Crockett. No, wait, she's a cook.
Yeah,
no, that's Betty Crocker.
Yeah. Kirby Puckett passed away at the age of 45 in the year 2006.
That
I believe had a heart attack there.
So. That was awful.
Oh, terrible. Oh. And Nancy Reagan at the age of 94.
Yeah.
Passed away in 2016, not too long ago. So gone but not forgotten there, Rich.
Gone but not forgotten, Mike Piazza's career as a soccer club owner.
Wow.
He is livid. Did you see the press conference the other day?
No.
Apparently, Mike Piazza, the great Hall of Fame baseball player, owns a soccer team, and he's absolutely furious at the way things are going there. AC Reggiana. He purchased June 2 years ago. He pounded his fist, a very emotional news conference. Apparently, his team has lousy conditions, sort of like the Oakland A's stadium
of
the Milan League, apparently. I don't know much about it, but it was kind of fun. It's about the maddest I've seen since Clemens threw his broken bat at him. It was quite a scene.
That was great.
So is he mad because he's going to sell the team, or is he mad because
the conditions are bad?
He says the conditions at the stadium are deplorable.
If he's the owner, can't he help get it fixed?
Yeah.
And it's not like he doesn't have any money. He's Mike friggin' Piazza.
Come on, Mike Piazza.
All right, gone but not forgotten. The proper way to do the NCAA Selection Sunday show. They're changing the format. So usually what you see is you see Greg Gumbel and Ernie Johnson and those guys. Yeah. They'll just go region by region, and they'll go, okay, here's the one seed against the 16. And they'll play the winner of the 8-9 right. matchup. Well, that was the fun way. They're ruining it now.
Yes.
And they are going to do it this way.
Yes.
They're going to put all 68 teams
yes.
up. They're going to tell you all 68 teams that are in.
In the first 10 minutes.
In the first 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then they're going to give you the matchup.
Yes.
Just so they can show all the snubs.
For the hour and 50 minutes afterwards.
So is this going to take away the like the live shot of the reaction?
They're going to show the teams get in, and then you're going to see the teams that got
right.
snubbed in their reaction.
And they'll play that for the next hour and 50
yeah.
minutes.
And then we're
yeah.
going to argue about it.
Right, right,
and
right.
Then, you know, they'll get the NCAA Selection Committee president on, and then... Then we'll finally get to hear who's playing her.
And it's not going to be on...
to be on TBS.
TBS, which is the first time? Or am I,
first
what is it
time
usually,
in 36
is
years.
Is it on CBS?
CBS.
All right, yeah, usually on CBS. So they're going to put it over to... You seem confused.
No, I'm not at all confused. All right. I just don't want them to take away that live reaction because it's always fun when UVM's down at the scuffer or something and they go crazy.
Chris, the Mets fan, has one gone but not forgotten. Gone but not forgotten, Rich's flight.
Oh, funny,
yeah,
Chris.
That was, that's the funniest
yeah,
one ever.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that too, Brady. I'm not very happy about that. But, yeah, but that's the whole drama of it, seeing who gets in, who gets out. Gone but not forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Beignet. In our time of need, or in your time of need, certainly give our friends call at Elmwood Beignet. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And not only that, maybe you have pet burials or stuff like that, you certainly want to give them a call. They've been here in Burlington for a long, long time, over 50 years. Give our friends a call, Elmwood Beignet. Hour one in the books. We'll come back, reset. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We're live in Patrick Gymnasium right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month.
All right.
This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, live on the campus of the University of Vermont as we get you ready for the semifinal game. Of course, Brady, we'll have Champlain Valley game night from 6 to 6.30. We'll have the pregame at 6.30. 7 o'clock tip-off, Stony Brook is in town. And by the way, I have a YMCA game tonight, Brady, so we do. So why, can I go warm up a little bit? I feel like taking some shots and warming up a little bit.
You'd fit right in.
I would totally fit right in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Lamb, Everett Duncan. Steph Smith and Arnie getting some shots up.
Is that Duncan over there?
That's Everett Duncan, not Arnie. Okay.
Next year, all you have to say is that Duncan, and the answer will be yes.
Yeah. Arnie, you couldn't beat any of them. They could shoot threes, and you could shoot layups, and they would.
I just want to kind of warm up a little bit. You know, I got a big game tonight also, Brady. I don't want to.
I'm on the same team.
Yeah, I know surely that, as important as this one.
I think we should split our playing time tonight if we're playing a bad team. Let's go 20 minutes.
I don't know that we're playing a bad team.
You have become that bad
yes,
team.
Yes, I think we are. We're 5-5. This has got me motivated. Now I see the guys warming up.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready to kick some booty. You said 1.5. Maybe we should make it a 12.5 tonight or something like that.
You haven't hit double figures yet.
I'm ready to get it. What was my high is 8, right?
Your high is 8.
I will break 8 tonight.
And that's minutes.
I will break 8 points tonight. I'm going for my all-time high, for crying out loud. All right, lots going on, Brady. Tell everybody what's happening, why we're here as we're getting ready for stuff, and, of course, what's coming up this week.
Patrick Jim, Stony Brook in town. It's the America East semifinals, so one win away from another spot in the conference championship game for the Cats. That would be Saturday morning, 11 a.m. What else is coming up this week? Remember, trivia, 7:30.
Yes.
That's tomorrow at City Sports Grill. And we know the snow is coming. We're still going. We're still playing. So we'll go have some fun for that Thursday, even with the snow again. Idle Time Brewery in Stowe. So if you live down there, if you work down there, come on and see us. We'll be there starting at 4.
And thanks to the airline industry in this country's inadequacies, I may be at all of those events.
You might be.
Yes.
But you won't be working. You're on vacation.
Rich, you've already put in your vacation time. We cannot change that. You are starting your vacation 6 o'clock today. I don't care if you're here or you're not here.
And guess where I'll be at 6:05?
I don't care.
I'll be in line at the airport screaming at someone.
Good luck. Scream whoever you want to scream at. I just, you know, everybody knew we were having a big storm. You decided that you were going to fly out during the big storm.
Yeah, a month ago.
But you knew a couple days ago you're going to change the flight.
This was a month ago.
Yeah, but you knew a couple days ago we're going to have a storm.
Yes, that's why I booked for 5:30 a.m. to fly out before the 4 o'clock first snowflake falls.
I would have said I'm going to go 2 days earlier just to be sure, but that's just me. Now that you're not me, you're stuck here in Burlington, so there you go.
Don't get me going, Art. Don't get me going.
You know, don't get you going. I'm right, obviously.
I once had a moral conundrum when it came to the airline industry. Listen to this one, Rich. Yeah. I know what Arnie would say, so Rich, I'll ask you this one because you're a rational person, usually.
I don't hear that too
much. Yeah, exactly.
So when I was going to work for the Astros, I was going down to spring training. The Astros were flying me from Albany to Kissimmee, where the Astros were in spring training.
Yep.
So there was a blizzard the night before in Albany. We got like a foot of snow. The flight was scheduled to leave at 6 a.m. They almost, they didn't cancel the flight, but they said, if anyone's willing to give up their seat on the plane, we will put you on the next flight,
right,
and we'll give you the value of the plane ticket.
Oh, yeah, you can make a lot of money sitting around an airport all day.
So they were going to offer me $1,500, which was the value of the trip. $1,500 just if I went on the 3 o'clock in the afternoon flight rather than 6 a.m. I wanted to take it. I didn't pay for the ticket. So the Astros,
I would have taken it.
The Astros,
yes, you would.
The Astros paid for the ticket. What if I had just taken the money and then gotten on the later flight?
Should have.
How do you think Astros?
I'm telling you, I totally should have.
I mean, as someone who gets bumped off of every flight that I've ever taken and spends night after night in airports, I can appreciate that because you listen to those announcements and you go, if I'm not really in a hurry, I could make a fortune just sitting here in the airport
and then
all day.
I did the opposite. What, pre-9/11, I was coming back from the Super Bowl. I was in St. Louis. My flight was about 2 hours away, and you could see that there's some bad storms coming up, and I could hear the lady say she was going to cancel it. I had my luggage with me. I said, can we get on that one, which is leaving in 15 minutes? She goes, no, I can't put you on that one. I turned to my buddy who I was with. His name was A. Martinez. I said, look, I don't know about you. I'm getting on that flight. Let them throw me off. I just walked on. Yeah. And he walked on behind me, and nobody checked our ticket, and we flew to L.A. And nobody, can you imagine doing that now, just walking on a flight? And seeing
no. Things have changed.
If they caught you on the wrong flight, everybody's going to have to get off. I promise you that.
And honestly, I don't care if I fly to Zimbabwe tonight. I really don't. I just want to see my daughter this weekend. You know, and it's just so ridiculous that you can't get a flight out of Burlington 6 hours before the first snowflake arrives. And I understand it's not about Burlington's airport. It's all the connection situations in New York. But it's not snowing there either.
Wouldn't that be great, I don't get it. If they went ahead and then said, you know what, we are going to let the flight go, and then you never showed up for it.
Oh, I understand it's all about safety, but I mean, you know, how many hours between the first snowflake and my flight? It's a lot.
But you said it was like 8 hours or something
like that? Yeah, I'm supposed to fly out of New York at about 8:30 tomorrow morning, and the snow is supposed to arrive about 6 hours later.
Jeez. Well, you know, again, we can't have you come on the air tomorrow. We're sorry about that. And enjoy your vacation.
That's not a vacation. There will be no vacation spent in this area.
All right, Brady, what's going on with Town Hall Meeting Day?
Yeah,
what's
so today is the Town Hall Meeting Day.
Yeah.
Today's Town Meeting Day, where they've got a lot of propositions on the floor and all this kind of political stuff. UVM didn't even have school today.
No one does, do they?
No classes today on Town Meeting Day. So we have come up with our own 101.3 ESPN Town Meeting. We've got five propositions today that we can vote yes or no to.
And proposition number one is, who should be the leader of 101.3 in the huddle?
Stop.
Rich, Arnie, or Brady? And I'm going to have to vote for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't see that on the sheet.
We've just added an addendum to it, Rich. Just added that, Rich. And I'm going to vote for myself on this one. I'm sorry.
Go figure.
And you can vote on the Town Fair Tire text line, too. 802-655-6672. You can vote on that one or as any of the other ones we're going to get to.
Proposition number one, the Yankees should go out and acquire another starter before the season starts. Yes or no?
That's boring. No. I thought it was going to be something interesting.
Well, I'm going to say no on that because they've got enough going on right now. Let's get the season going. They can always make adjustments during the season. I don't know who they have in their minor leagues, but I'm not going to panic if I'm them. It's certainly got enough hitting, so I'm going to say no for that one.
Boy, that's a tough one because if there's one thing that team seems to be lacking, although we'll see.
I don't think they are.
Well, the thing is Sonny Gray going to stay healthy? Is CeCe Sabathia going to give him the innings that he gave him last year?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a lot like the Red Sox in that sense of where you go, what is the two starter? What is the three starter? Is Pomerantz going to stay healthy? I don't know what that is after Severino. I would say yes to that. I vote yes. I mean, it doesn't have to be Arrieta, but get somebody of substance in there.
I'm voting no because of the luxury tax issue. The Yankees can't go out and do a big move here in the spring. And that would not allow, that would preclude, if they do a big move now, that would preclude them from doing a big move at the deadline. And I think this team is better suited with all the prospects they have to go and flip prospects for somebody at the deadline and be able to take on some money there. They should save the little money they have for a deadline move rather than now.
So now do we send it to the little old lady in the back of the room who's knitting during town meeting? Believe me, I've been to 100 of them, and that's what it is.
Sean in Colchester, my vote is for Arnie. That's Sean in Colchester.
Now, what does leader of the show mean?
Just, you know,
that means you talk more?
Like, you already talk more.
I talk more. Yeah. I'm more like Fonzie, and you guys are more like Richie and Ralph Mal. You
know what I mean?
Hey, they were very important to the show, though, Richard.
They were.
What's question two?
Proposition number two, Arnie, this will make you happy. So did you see the Arizona Diamondbacks are bringing back the bullpen cart?
Yes, I saw that. You sent it to me. I loved it. I thought that was fantastic.
We talked about it this summer. So all baseball teams should bring back the bullpen cart.
Yes.
That's question number two.
Absolutely. And I saw the bullpen cart. You sent me, that's not in a... like in the shape of the old ones, right? It was more like sleek down.
Well, it's still... Yeah, I mean, some of them look
right.
Sox had a great one.
I liked I like the old-fashioned one where they got to have the cap on top.
But
they also have to have like that round. But that aside, I'm very happy if they bring this back. I would love it. And I think fans would like it, too. I can't believe that fans Brady's age didn't know that we actually did that. I thought everybody knew that. I thought it was part of baseball,
It used to be. I'll never forget the one at Fenway. It was the little Red Sox baseball cap over a golf cart. And that guy used to come in about 75 miles an hour.
I know.
I was like, boy, I hope he doesn't hit me.
Some would actually pull right up to the mound.
Yes.
Right there, right through the infield.
Can you imagine the groundskeeper seeing that now?
Oh, my goodness.
He'd blow a gasket.
I'm saying no to Prop 2. Not all teams should go back to bullpen carts. I do think it's cool. I do think baseball and nostalgia go go hand in hand. So I think there's room for the bullpen cart in baseball. But that said, I am a nerd. Fields being ruined.
But
the big thing is what about where are you going to keep the bullpen cart? I had somebody tell me
it's
that
in the bullpen.
Would you?
Yeah.
Could you?
Where?
Not be? Could you let me finish, please?
Yes. Go ahead.
Someone who was in Cleveland was talking to me about this today.
Yeah.
And they said the only place for the bullpen cart to be is in left field, at the left field wall. Well, the bullpen is in dead center field. So is it going to drive from the left field wall where it's kept to center field to the bullpen and then across the outfield to bring the pitcher would get there quicker on his own?
What they had at Fenway in the old days is right where the groundskeeper, where the tarp is, down the between first base and right field, there's that little entrance there, and that thing would come shooting out of that and go out into the right field bullpen.
So at Fenway,
logistically, it wouldn't be a lot of time, but I see your point for the pace of play people like me.
Well, some don't even have a bullpen there on the side, right, like the Cubs.
Only the Cubs.
Is that the
Oakland.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, take a
guy making $30 million. Kershaw is out for the season after running after a foul ball and smashing into a golf cart with a Dodgers cap on top.
Question three of the town hall meetings. You would get rid of the one and done rule, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, this should be 100% to zero if it came down to a vote. First of all, it takes care of the pay in the athletes. Two, you really couldn't have done that because of Title IX. Three, it would open up the whole can of worms about the whole likeness and the jersey, which I'm still okay for the athletes now. But now I don't want to hear any baloney. Oh, he can make money. You're not letting him make any money. He can go to the G League. He can go overseas. He can go to the NBA if he's good enough. You're talking about a 0.2% that could go to the NBA. So I think this is 100% fantastic.
Couldn't agree more. Everything Arnie just said. Yeah. Absolutely. I heard Dan Patrick's show today talking about the fact that the NCAA is talking about possibly a year and a half, or is it a half a year or whatever? Some ridiculous rule. They're just overthinking it. Bring them in. I mean, you think about it. KG, LeBron, all those guys got in, and they were immediately great. And I understand there's a lot of them that aren't going to be in. I would imagine the John Calipari's of the world are not going to be too thrilled about it, but yeah, it seems ridiculous to force them to go into a situation like they have to.
I'm saying yes as well. I would repeal the one and done rule. I think it'll just make the quality of play better for everybody. The better players that are ready to go play in the NBA, they'll be in the NBA. The NBA game will get better. The G League game will get better for the guys who go straight to the G League and are looking to make money professionally right away. And then the college game will ultimately get better because you'll get more and more teams that are senior-laden. And, well, look, I understand from a star power standpoint, you know, a team full of four seniors who are starting could be, you know, could be a little more boring, but the game is going to be played better, and ultimately I do think that good basketball wins out in most situations.
I think there's a difference. Like, if you're going to be a first-round pick, you're never going to go to the G League because you're going to say it's going to help ruin your brand. And, you know, stuff like that. If you're a second-round pick, you're not going to want to do that also. I can see kids who maybe are not going to cut it grades-wise or just kind of came in under the radar. But the big names are not going to go ahead and get that.
Yeah, so the G League gets better. The NBA gets...
Right, yeah.
The G League still gets good players that are ready to play professionally, even if not make a difference at the NBA level yet. The NBA game gets better and gets the what would have been the college star power. The G League gets better, and the college game ultimately gets better because there's more seasoned players playing in the tournament, and that's what we care about. Prop 4 to vote on. The Catamounts should put Anthony Lamb in the starting lineup starting tonight.
You whispered that to him.
Yes,
is that because he's over there? You don't want him to hear that you bring that up?
That's
is that
because
why?
He's over here, yeah.
I think they definitely should put Anthony Lamb in the starting lineup. And the reason I say that is eventually he's going to have to get back in the lineup. You don't want to go ahead and put him into the starting lineup in the finals against Hartford or whoever they're going to play.
Or UMBC.
Or UMBC. And you don't want to put him in the starting lineup for the first game of the NCAA tournament. So you want to get his back to much normal as possible. That's putting him into the starting lineup today. So that's my thoughts on that one. What do you think? Put Lamb back in the starting
lineup. Let me go to the voice of the Catamount, Sam Hyman. Should he be in the starting lineup?
You answer for Rich.
I don't think he should. Because you have five guys that have gone out there pretty much every day, every game on a consistent basis. And with what Drew Urquhart's been able to do in his absence, I don't think you can mess with that whatsoever. I think Anthony's a guy that is willing and able to adapt to a different role. I think he's that skilled. And over these next handful of games, however many Vermont has down the line, it's very crucial that he does come off the bench because Vermont's bench has been lacking recently. And I think he can ignite the bench, and then some on top of the fact that you just don't want to mess with the flow and the chemistry that Drew Urquhart has been put into, because we did not expect this to happen this year with Drew, and you definitely don't want to mess anything like that up in this time of the year.
Well, Sam just shot me down. I think Sam wants my job. I think he wants me the talk show.
Gee, who out of four of us, who's the best dressed?
Yeah.
This is a real stumper.
What do you think, Brady? What do you think? Put Lamb back in the lineup or what?
Not tonight. I'll say.
Wow!
I say I'm keeping him out of the lineup tonight. As Sam said, I think there's just too much consistency with this group of five starters that they've had since he went out in late December. I could see getting him back in to the starting lineup in the NCAA tournament where you end up with 4 or 5 days further to prepare and get back conditioning and get back a rapport with the teammates and a certain rotation. I'll do that. I'll say you play him more minutes tonight for sure.
Yes.
But I don't
think
you put him back in the starting lineup. And lastly, moving on to question 5, proposition 5. Arnie should stop shooting tonight in our basketball game.
I find that very insulting. I took myself out of the lineup
last game. Yes.
I don't
understand. No, repeal the shots for Arnie.
I am one of the best percentage-wise shooters on the YMCA team.
One for two?
I'm 5-3 when I show up. They've lost the 2 games when I don't show up. They let Trimboli score 54 against them, and he doesn't even have a batter here on him. I mean, what kind of guy scores 54 you don't even have a batter on this guy for? So, no, I'm not going to stop shooting the ball, Rich. I vote no on that.
Well, let's go back to the voice of YMCA basketball in about a month when the season ends, Sam Hyman.
Yeah, is that job open? Can I do those games? I need to, first of all, attend one of these. I'd like to see how good your sharpshooting skills
are. We're
going
to stream it live tonight, I think.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Well,
put it on Facebook Live.
I hope it starts at around 10 p.m. because I won't be.
You can watch the second half. You can watch the second half.
Yeah, I need to watch and see how you are, because apparently there's a lot of trash talking, a lot of back and forth going between you guys.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
So Arnie should stop shooting and Brady should get more shots.
Wow. I don't like that. By the way, I am getting a lot of votes that I should run the gang here. Derek in St. Albans said his vote is for Arnie. I vote for Brady to be the big cheese at 101.3. Yes, this is the see who the boss is. We're going to take votes on that. I vote for Arnie, Sean, and Colchester. So, yeah, I'm getting a lot of votes to be the boss now. I think it's about time I
think it's all the whining I'm doing about my flight tonight and tomorrow. I turned everyone all against me.
Yeah, you're taking yourself out of the running for big cheese at 101.3.
And by the way, we are streaming live on Facebook the game tonight. My son is coming.
Is he really?
Yes, and he's going to Facebook.
Wow.
I don't know if they should do the whole game or just when I'm in. So I haven't quite figured
that out. I'll give him my phone so he can do it.
Why does that have to do on your phone?
Because we can do it for the station account that way.
Okay.
I don't know that you have access to the station Facebook.
All right, then we'll do it that way. And he has to chop up if I score. Can he chop it up and show me?
Nope, it's just live.
No, but I suppose I want the highlights later on.
Nope. I don't know. I don't know how to cut up a Facebook Live video.
Jeez, I don't
like
that.
I'll do it for you.
All right. So there you go. That's the way we vote on that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
It's our 4-minute football fix. What do you make of Deion Sanders' comments yesterday?
All right, that's coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive, and we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We're live at Patrick Gymnasium. We're getting ready for the semifinal game. Stony Brook's in town taking on UVM. That's one semifinal. Of course, the other semifinal, Rich, is I don't remember, UMBC AM.
In Hartford, and I said that game's in Hartford. In fact, it's in Baltimore.
All right, so it's in Baltimore there,
yes.
Right?
Should I turn this up a little
bit? Yeah, turn that up a little
bit. All right,
bit.
I'm now on my third microphone of the show, just to let everybody know.
I don't know what was wrong with the other one that you had.
Well, I had one comment saying he sounds like he's broadcasting from Jupiter. That was good enough to get me to change the headset.
Right, and then the handheld mic sounded fine.
Arm got tired, so now I'm using Sam Hyman's microphone. This one better work, considering he's doing the game tonight.
Yes.
Now, is this Frank Sinatra they're pointing over the... airway.
This might be Logic off the album Young Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
Very
so
young.
It's my bad.
Grandkid.
My bad. I thought I was listening to this on the way in on my A-track. All right, Brady, we got to get to the 4-minute football fix.
Yes, 4-minute football fix. Aaron, cue the music.
4-minute football fix. 4-minute football fix.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, I'm going to have Aaron kill the music in a second because we got to get to Deion Sanders' comment first. He can't play both the music and his comments out of the same thing. So, Aaron, shush with the music. What did you make of Deion Sanders' comments yesterday? So this safety from Penn State ran a 4.35 40.
Right.
So it's the fastest 40 at the combine of any safety. And Deion said this on NFL Network.
This is Troy Atkins.
I bet he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Well, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he can run.
He was a track guy.
Right.
He was a track guy.
But you're saying it with an extra
tone.
You
don't see that much.
You're saying it in tone.
Let's call it what it is. I like that,
he
man.
He just ran 4.35.
Hey, man, let me go hug him.
At 215 pounds.
I'm going to hug him. Hey, man.
So basically,
that was good,
look,
man.
So Deion basically said that the reason he was surprised that the guy ran a 4.35 is because he was white.
Right.
And he said...
I was waiting for that part there.
Yeah. Now Aaron can bring the music back. But he ran a 4.35 40. The surprising part, and he can quote, he can run. We don't see that often. Right. Richard Eisen goes, you know, what are you getting at? Why are you surprised? He goes, you know I can't say it on TV. Right. So let's call a spade. Deion is surprised that a white guy ran a 4.35 40. And look, I have a problem with these comments. Not because I personally am offended by them. And I know people will point out, oh, the double standard. If you had said that about a black athlete or about a Hispanic athlete or an Asian athlete, whatever it is, there would be the hypocrisy of the double standard. Just what bothers me, with all the change that we're trying to enact in society, that change should work on all fronts.
It's interesting, 25 years ago, whatever, White Man Can't Jump. The name of a movie that made a gazillion dollars. Everybody thought it was hilarious, and you couldn't possibly get away with that now.
But see, I think I haven't seen one thing in the media about Deion being in trouble at the NFL Network. I haven't seen one thing about people calling for his job.
No, you won't.
Look, I'm not in that camp. But if we're trying to repeal stereotypes in society, and if we're trying to have racial inclusion right. in everything we do, then that needs to expand itself to every possible aspect of life. And so you should not be able to get away with white guys are slow, white guys can't jump. That shouldn't be a thing anymore either.
You want to know the funny part is, I'm pretty sure if I would have said that on the air, even being white, I would have gotten in trouble. I think Deion's getting away with it just because he's Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you're right. Not because he's black, because he's Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I just, if a lot of society's ills right now, and a lot of society, and outside, far outside of sports, if a lot of it is about more inclusion, better understanding, more tolerance, more acceptance, then I think the days of saying white guys can't jump are they have to be done.
Right.
And it gets laughed off, and it's funny when it gets said as white guys can't jump, or, yeah, we're surprised that the white guy is fast, but I think those racial stereotypes in sports, that they have to go too.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, 20 years ago, it wasn't even thought about. There was all this, you know, under the table stuff talking about, like, the Oakland punter, who's an African American.
Yeah,
punter.
Our tech king.
Wait a minute, he can't be a punter. He's black. Or, you know, say 7 or 8 years ago, a white cornerback in the NFL. And yes, there was a time when a black
Jason Sehorn.
Quarterback. Yeah, but I mean, there were so many things being said under people's breaths about that. It's like, wait a minute, that guy's a punter. He can't be black.
Or and black hockey players.
Or he's in a speed position, therefore he can't be a white guy. I mean, how many times did you hear that?
We heard it last year. Remember, it was Zach Zenner, who was the running back for Detroit, and they were on, you know, their third or fourth running back, and Zach Zenner came out and had a great, you know, had a great couple of games at the end of the season, and before they played my Seahawks in the playoffs, Michael Bennett came out and said, hey, you don't see a lot of white running backs anymore. You know, it's pretty good for a white guy.
Yep.
Those kind of things, if we're going to go to the extremes that we go to be politically correct in all walks of life, it's gotta be a sports thing too. Because how many times have we walked on the basketball court and said, oh, there's the white guy. He must be the shooter.
Right.
I mean, that's how people, because J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver are, and Jimmer Fredette was, it's just assumed, oh, white guys are shooters.
It's the Jamaican bobsled team mentality. It really is, in kind of a comedic way. Obviously, this isn't comedic, but I mean, that it depends. I mean, the white men can't jump, and Cool Runnings and movies like that were just sort of taking it and trying to make it funny, because that's what it was at that time. Now you do it, and people are a little bit more tricky with it.
I want to give you a football story, football fix. I think we should take a moment to say goodbye to retiring NFL referee Ed Hockley.
Yes.
You look surprised there, Rich.
I didn't know that.
He is calling it quits.
As is Jeff Triplett.
Yes, I was a little surprised about that, too, when I heard this morning, because I didn't know he was considering it. Though, don't be upset, because guess who's taking his place?
His son.
His son, Little Ed. Well, I don't know if his name is Little Ed. I think it's like BJ
Little
something.
Ed.
Yeah,
I forget. But he had
Sean, I think his name.
Had been a back judge. So Jeff Triplett is out. Ed Hockley is out. Two other guys are coming in.
I know Jeff. I don't know him personally, but I know the name Jeff Triplett.
Are you better friends with Jeff Triplett or me with Gene Steratore?
No, but it's funny you said that. I called my producer and said, you get Ed Hockley on my national show for me on Sunday, because I know Ed from Scottsdale, from Phoenix, from a long time ago. So I've had Ed on before. He's a funny guy.
So this will mean Ed has more time to work out.
Work on those guns. Yeah. Oh, the jokes have already started. They said reason Ed is leaving is because the NFL is serious about getting rid of guns. You know, talking about his arm. And there's a whole bunch of jokes on that.
I mean, some of these old-time refs are probably sick and tired of the abuse. I mean,
well, we need younger refs anyway. We need younger refs.
How bad has it gotten? What's a pass catch? You know, what's a catch anymore?
Well, we needed to get younger in that situation anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm thinking maybe it certainly is going to help some of the cause, because some of these guys are just like way too slow to be out there. What does Vince say? What was the last white running back to lead the NFL in rushing? Oh, geez. You know what? I have a guess in that. I don't think it's going to be right. Is it Allstott from Tampa? No.
Peyton Hillis.
Led.
What?
Who?
What about Peyton Hillis of the Browns?
Could be. That too. He was on the cover. Yard. Yeah.
So otherwise, Larry Zonka?
Where it's not, I don't think he led the league, but that was really him and Jim Kick and Mercury Morris.
John
Someone
Riggins.
Says Craig James. Is that the answer? Craig James, maybe.
Yeah, he had one or two big
Did
years.
Peyton Hillis ran for over 1,000 yards and then was on the cover of Madden. I can tell you that.
Right. So, You know, but again, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to be surprised if a white guy runs fast, though. That's like saying, wow, he dunked the ball.
Do you take those comments as racist?
I don't take it as racist, but I certainly see how people do take it as racist.
I think based on everything that is called racist, I think those are racist comments. Now, I think there's a difference between racist and offensive. I don't find it offensive.
But it's steeped in fact. I mean, isn't it? I mean, the question is, who was the last white?
No, not that
one.
No. The Dion
comments.
Absolutely. Okay, I thought you were talking about you know the
Dion question.
The Dion comments. Because I mean, facts are fact. The numbers are there.
Real quick, just one story that everybody was talking about. Alden Smith has turned himself in. He's jailed on $30,000 bond, which. It's not all that much.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot.
No, it doesn't. And that guy's about as worse as they come. So there you go. What is Andrew ripping on you for?
He says, come on, Brady. I think he means that he doesn't find those comments racist. And I said, I think by definition, yeah, they're probably racist. Me not finding them offensive, that's a different thing. I don't find those comments offensive. But if we're going to be cracking down on inclusion, then I would say that those are comments that you probably can't make anymore.
All right. We'll come back. Brady, what is coming up next?
Coming up next, our daily spring training update. We'll get into that. And then Bruins, tough injury. What do we have to make of Charlie McAvoy's absence?
All right. All next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams. But before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Things are picking up a little bit. Things are shaking. I think they opened the doors early, Brady.
They did.
People are coming in, guys. And
the Stony Brook Pep Band is here.
Yeah, things are rocking. By the way, on the Tougher Tire text line, first-time texter, take the 100 fastest guy in sports. How do we know how many are black and how many are white? I think it makes a difference with determining whether Deion Sanders' comments were racist or not. Like Rich said, numbers are numbers. If 90 of those guys are black and the other ones were white, then it's just truth, not racism. I said that, well, then let's say how many women were president? None. So therefore, no women would be good presidents because there's never been a woman president. You don't like that, guys?
I disagree with the texter. Yeah. I agree with your logic. If I said to you, and this is totally just an example. This is not truth. But if you said, set 9 of the top 10 highest rated passers were all white, so therefore white quarterbacks are the only ones that are good.
Right.
That would not necessarily be true because black quarterbacks can still be good and can still be very good.
Exactly.
And have been very good before, just like there have been fast white people before.
So I have to agree with that texter. All right, let's go ahead and get the spring training report. What do we got going?
Let's get the music, Aaron.
Where's the spring training report, Aaron? That's mistake number 26. I had the over 23.5. I'm going to win today.
Just what I want to hear, spring training music.
Yes.
So we were talking about this with Tom Caron earlier. We weigh in on it now. Jerry Remy essentially gave David Price a free pass last year for his grumpiness and surliness with the media and with Dennis Eckersley. And he said the reason why is because you're just miserable when you're injured. Look, Jerry Remy's a great broadcaster. He's been through a lot personally. He's had cancer multiple times. I value his opinion. I think he's wrong in this one. If just because you are going through some tough times personally does not give you the right to just go and be a giant jerk to everybody else.
And probably not to the guy who's doing the color for most of the games in Eckersley. For the team. I mean, how is that going to be?
Yeah, but
how are you going to hide that just happened?
Jerry Remy is not a talk show host like us. He's not paid to give his opinion on if David Price is being a malcontent. So I don't have a problem with him saying this. If he did a talk show, then people would call him up and take him to task on that. That's not your business. That's like as a color commentator. If you were doing play-by-play and I was a color commentator, I'd say, geez, Rich, you sound awful today. You know, that is not my place to say that at that time. That I'm not a talk show host at that point.
I just think Price probably learned the hard way what the Boston media can be like. I mean, it's like the beer and chicken days a few years. The whole season was defined because
Somebody was eating. I mean, it was some ridiculous thing. They were in the clubhouse during the game eating beer and chicken one time. So the entire season was blamed on the fact that a couple of guys were having beer and chicken during a game. Now everybody hates Price because of this one incident, and it just doesn't end.
I get that Price was upset. I get that last year was a hard year for him from expectations and failure to hit expectations and injury. I get all of it. And I understand you being, you know, having a less than winning disposition about you. But to just go and fly off the handle, I don't think you have any right to do that. I know there are plenty of people, I'm sure, in this gym right now that have had tough days that don't just take it out on random people or people who had nothing to do with contributing to those tough days.
I said I want him gone anyway. I want him gone. I'm sorry.
Price?
Yeah, I want him gone. I want him gone, but there's no way you get him out.
Good luck with that.
If he had 4 years left making 50 or 40, 50 million, he'd be gone in our. Anybody would take him. He'd be gone in our heartbeat.
So are you rooting for. Here's my question for you then. Are you rooting for Price to go 25-0 this year and opt out of that deal and then be gone from Boston?
I don't think he's ever going to opt out. I don't care if he went 100. No, he's never going to opt out of that deal. I don't care. And I don't think he's going to have a good year anyway. I think it'll be sub 500. But no
matter how. Sub 500.
Yeah. So why? Is that. It? Does that. You sound surprised about that.
Yes, I do. I think
really?
David Price is going to have a. I'm not.
I'm thinking like 12 and 13, and that's a good year.
It's more like a Porcello kind of year.
That's a good year. I'm thinking 12 and 13, and that would be a good year for him.
If he's healthy, I think he could go 15 and 7.
We're on the wrong end of the spectrum on this one, boys.
If he's healthy and the rest of the offense remains healthy, if the team plays, you know, as it should offensively, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to have more wins than guys had last year because they're going to have a better offense. You're talking about a team that was last ranked in the American League in home runs last year. Heck, if they're even in the middle this year, I look at all of their winners, all their pitchers getting a boost. I think Price, man, I could see him going. He went 17-9 his first year in Boston. I could see him repeating.
You could say the same thing about the Yankees. What they added is their power.
Right. We're not talking about the Yankees.
Right.
We're talking about David Price. Right. Yes, the Yankees are going to be good. Therefore, I think bad pitchers are going to have more wins because their offense is going to elevate them.
Yeah, that's why I said 12 and 13, though. I think he's just not going to be ever the David Price that got that big-time contract.
I don't see it. Well, you know where I stand on this. I've been telling you for a month and a half, I think he's going to have a big year this year. I'm not talking about 20-4 and a Cy Young award, but I can see him winning 16 games this season.
Wow.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on here. We are live at Patrick Gym. Off the spring training baseball update, let's go to the Bruins real quick. Charlie McAvoy out for at least 4 weeks. He's got a sprained MCL. This guy has got the 6th most points on the Bruins. He's got a plus 26 in the plus minus category. He's an important part of this team. Rich, how big a loss is it?
I'm still watching the replay and trying to figure out what happened. It just doesn't look like anything.
It buckled.
He just tripped. I mean, it looked like it fell down, and the next thing you know, he's gone. Well, first of all, that means somebody's got to go up to that first line and team with Chara, and it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. It's a good thing they grabbed a guy like Nick Holden right at the trade deadline, because all of a sudden he's going to go from 15 minutes a game to 20, and everybody's just going to have to step up.
Do you agree with me on the surface? It doesn't hurt as much, but pair that with Bergeron now. Yeah, you know, it hurts a lot more.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, look at what they're missing right now. And then everyone keeps saying, well, the timing is perfect. And, yeah, they're getting away with it because they keep winning. And they've got Detroit tonight on the zone, by the way. And so they're now missing Bergeron, their leading scorer,
right,
their leading player, MVP candidate, if you ask me. They're missing their best defenseman. Everybody can say Char is their best defenseman, but I don't buy that. I think McAvoy has been the MVP on the blue line this year. And now Rask is hurt. He missed the game the other night, and I'm not sure if he's going to play tonight or not, but he's been day-to-day. So
they're limping to the finish line.
I mean, you take those three guys. Yeah, but the thing that is good about this is it sounds like all of them are going to be ready for the playoffs, and when we talk about McAvoy being ready, it's going to be very close.
Yeah. Because of where they are in the standings, they've got a heavy, you know, advantage over Florida, you know, who can come in for fourth in the Atlantic. I don't know that it hurts them that much in terms of the standings, but I'm always the guy that gets worried about, oh, what's going to happen to the rhythm? When they put all these guys back in the lineup, how is everything going to readjust? Is it instantly going to be like it was? What about the rust factor? I don't know that it matters for the regular season because they're kind of entrenched in being in the top three of the Atlantic Division.
Right, right.
But I think it does matter come playoff time when you're going to try to instantly reinsert McAvoy into a lineup that's been altered.
Back up one spot, Andrew Wilson said, my money is that Price is the next Lincecum. So, by the way, he's going to sign.
He already signed.
Oh, okay.
Grow his hair long?
With the Texas Rangers.
Okay, I was hoping it was going to be with the Dodgers and, you know, kind of have that whole,
With
the Giants thing. By the way, what is he going to do this year? Just on a little side
note. Lincecum, he's going to be the closer potentially.
I always felt like that was the right thing for him.
Well, he only throws about 92 now, so he better have everything else working.
I guess it was just in the days with the long hair flying and all the herky-jerky motion. He just looked like such a deceptive guy to hit at the time. He comes in there, gives you one inning every night. I can see him being... I mean, there's nowhere else for him to go but up at this point. You might as well changing the plan.
Brady, what does Trevor and St. Albans say?
He says the loss of McAvoy is a big one, but if it was going to happen, he'd rather it happen now.
Of
he
course.
Should be ready for the playoffs. Luckily, though, they've got Holden and Nash. This would be a very big deal without those.
When do the playoffs start in that? Another 3 weeks or something like that? How much?
Yeah, I think it's
four weeks.
About 4 weeks. I mean, you're looking at the guys like Carlo and Kevin Miller, who played a couple of hundred feet to our right from where we're sitting right now in his college time. He's going to have to step up.
All right, do we want to do predictions now? We're going to do that for last story standing. As we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll do our predictions for the game tonight. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for last story standing on the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, we are live at Patrick Gymnasium. That's easy for me to say. Oh, my goodness.
You're so distracted by everybody shooting.
There's a lot of people here. You know, last year when we did this, nobody was in the gym at all when we were wrapping up the show at 6 o'clock. Matter of fact, Brady, when you were wrapping up Champlain Valley Game Night, I don't think anybody, or they were just opening the doors at that point.
No, well, people got, they opened up the door at 6, and the true crowd will file in starting around 6:15. So last year during Champlain Valley Game Night, we had a big crowd. But this year they opened it up early, and there's a lot of people in here already. It's like we're doing a show in front of a quarter of a billion people.
And it's fun. A lot of Burlington media legends around here. Tony Adams is here, and Andy Gardner, the former Free Press writer, was here for 100 years, is to my right.
Now, who's the new sales, the new sports girl over there?
Lauren Walsh.
She didn't say hello to us?
From Local 22, Local 44.
The sports person, I'm sorry.
I'm saying, does she have a name?
It's Lauren Walsh.
Lauren Walsh, there you go.
Another guest of Champlain Valley Game Night.
Oh, you had her on already?
Yes.
Okay.
Weeks ago.
That's right, I listened to that.
Yeah. Do you ever listen to me?
Yes, I do. I thought maybe she'd come over, say hello, want to introduce herself.
No, you know, because she knows you'll ask her to be on TV with her.
I do want to be on TV, though. I still want to go ahead and do that, no doubt about that.
We all want you to be on TV.
By the way, real quick, this Stony Brook team, what could you tell me about them? I mean, how much of a game this is going to be tonight, guys? What do you think, Brady?
My prediction, this is a 10-point win for UVM. I think this is a good game. I think UVM comes out slow again, unfortunately. I want to see them get out to a 21-6 lead or, 30-13 or something, but right now, I just don't think that's who this UVM team is. I think it's close, and then UVM pulls away in the second half, and they win it 79-69.
Wow. This
is a much younger Stony Brook team than the team that had those epic battles with UVM in the playoffs, especially over the years. This is, they start three freshmen. They're much younger. They had an under-500 record over the season. And, Jamil Warney is not walking through that door, as they say, and UVM beat him twice. I think they beat him again tonight by about 12 to 15 points.
Well, give me a score, because I have it 73-63. Right. I'm going with Brady 10-point win.
I'll say 71-59.
Wow, look at that. So not a high-scoring game. By the way, is there going to be a big contingency from Stony Brook here?
Or already here.
Entire pep band and cheer squad
well, the band
already
is here, but considering, it's a Tuesday night.
Oh, that's a haul.
Semifinal. I didn't think they're going to have a big contingency here or not.
That's
a
pretty good haul. Stony Brook is not down the street.
If this was the finals, now that'd be a whole different story. But yeah, with the semifinals on a Tuesday, not too many people take off in midday, able to make this. And then the finals on Saturday, of course, barring a win here or getting the win. Last year, we had games all during the week until we got all the way to the finals. Did we not, or what?
Last year, the games.
What do you mean by that?
Last
year, we had games during the week.
Yeah, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. We didn't have the weekends until we got to the finals, did we not? Because we were doing the games from here.
The first round game was on a weekday.
Was it?
It was the second round game.
Yeah.
And then the finals on a Saturday.
And I would assume if they do get to the final Saturday, it's probably another one of those 11 a.m. specials for ESPN.
Right? It is. Yeah.
I love those, though.
Yeah, I
like
do, too.
That.
I do, too.
Last year we were here, we stormed the court, we were taking pictures.
Yeah, and they have a big to-do in the next room over here at Patrick Gym. It's a lot of fun.
The Sports Saturday crew, if they win, will do their show from out here. We'll do a special time on Saturday. Usually Sports Saturday goes 10 to noon, but we'll have them out here. We go 8:30 to 10:30 if they win. I don't want to count chickens before they hatch, though, Aaron.
I was jumping on top of the guys. They were pouring Gatorade on me. You remember all the good times we were having last year? It was a lot of fun, for crying out loud. I think it was more relief last year because they went undefeated in league play, and you know they were expected to win it, and when they got down they were just like, oh my goodness, thank goodness we were able to pull this out. So there you go. What is Andrew Wills says?
He's mad at you
with the girl comment.
He says that you're not being PC.
Well, I said sports girl.
Sports
reporter. I said sports guy.
The problem for me wasn't guy or girl. I couldn't give a crap what you're saying there. I just thought maybe it would be nice if you knew her name.
And real quick, Robin Swatton wants to know if it's sold out. Yell for somebody. Is it sold out? Ask Sam. Sam, is the game sold out?
Yes.
Oh, it is sold out.
Sam has spoken. It must be sold out.
But come on by anyway.
Sam
what
will give
heck?
You a seat.
Come on by. Brady, what do we got coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight?
Well, a guy Sam knows well, Matt Glass, is going to sit in with us here at Patrick Gym. He called the quarterfinal matchup against Maine. He's a former UVM player, scored 1,000 points at Mount Mansfield High School, and also played in the NCAA tournament.
And I may see you tomorrow,
no,
boys.
No, you're on vacation for Rich, who's on vacation starting now.
See that word?
Canceled.
Canceled.
But now your vacation's not canceled. For Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 103 ESPN.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV. Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 ESPN.